All right, boys. Nice.
All right, you
Sure,
ready to
sure.
do this?
Good day. You are listening to a podcast, but this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast starring the Tens. Starring the Tens. Start. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Excuse me. Let me get that burp out. Leave that in, Matt. All right. I want to welcome everybody to a brand new episode of the podcast, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, I forgot to say I'm the Chet Smith, host of this here podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Up there in the top square, beaming in from Austin. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Dude, I was wondering where the confidence was in that greatest podcast, man. I'm really good, dude. I'm pumped up. You and I got some push-ups in pre-cast. I'm ready to rock and roll. We're back, baby.
Yeah. All right, down there in the bottom square, beaming in from the desert. I think he's done with Coachella now. Matt Palmer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, dude. Coachella's sold last week. This week was all about the high desert, but we'll get to that later.
Speaking of the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I ran into an old friend of ours from the podcast. The Men's Room had an event this Sunday over at Olaf's in Ballard. Thanks everybody that showed up. But one of the first person I started talking to, oh, you guys will remember, his name is slipping my mind right now. Jiu-Jitsu.
Alfie.
Yeah.
Alfie
Merlo.
Awesome. Right, so I started, and it's funny because like I just sat down at his table and started BSing with him. Also, full disclosure, Saturday was a fun day. Your boy was hurting on Sunday. Last thing I wanted to do was go to an event and search. I was like, I think I was just like, "Hey, dude, I'm just going to sit here with you." And he's like, "Yeah, it's Alfred." I was like, "Oh yeah." So obviously, yeah, I know. I was like, "Thanks, man." Your boy's holding on for dear life right now. Like, generally, I don't mind popping a beverage the next day, and like, I'm halfway through a beer, I'm like, I might puke. It was a rough one. I mean, don't worry, I rallied. But I was talking to him, and I know, you know, decent level practitioners of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu don't. You know, you're not supposed to talk about the belts and stuff. So I'll leave what level he's at. But, you know, as soon as he said who he was, I remembered his name and I asked him and I was like, "God damn, like, good work." And then he was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Look, you're the hustle." He's like, "I just went headfirst into jiu-jitsu." And he's like, "I have not stopped." He's like, "Don't drink. Like, don't smoke." He's like, "I train. I train all the time."
Sounds off.
Yeah. And he's still just as nice. I mean, like most jiu-jitsu guys, super nice guy and this and that. So it was fun BSing with him and just seeing somebody that listened to our podcast that long ago who took the year of the hustle and just balled out on it.
Mm, get it.
That's so tight.
Dude, they're nice because they know they can kill you. You know, like true martial artists are just like, they're chill, man. They're good. You know?
Yeah. Well, I would say, too, Alfie's a prime example, whether it's learning a new skill, working out, picking up a new sport or whatever. Like, he's at a super high level now, but Christ, he's been doing it since 07, 08. Or like, was that long ago or 2010? Whenever we had that year of the hustle.
2011, 2012. 2011.
Yes. Yeah, so like, he's been on that hustle, grinding it out. And it's like, you know, any good achievement, you know, like, guys don't wake up and play in the NFL, right? A lot of hard work and stuff goes through to it. So most good achievements are going to take that long of a time. And it, like, but it's rare to see it in person where it's like, oh no, since you guys talked about it, went in and this is where I'm at now. So I just want to make sure I gave him a little love today.
Dude, that is super cool. And that stuff too, when you're doing it, you know, you don't see the incremental improvements. Like that book, The Slight Edge, I think Matt's read it, but yeah, it can get so discouraging because like, you know, the day 18, you're not that much better at push-ups than day 17, but like, you know, day 1700, you're a beast. So yeah, incremental improvement is tough.
Yeah.
I respect it a lot.
Yeah. I was pumped. Plus it's just good to see one of our podcast listeners from that long ago.
Oh yeah.
That's really cool.
And to hear that he's been getting it, you know, cause then we can officially say like that the podcast, you know, benefits people.
Yeah, right.
We're not a blight on society. We're not just a wealth of misinformation. We also occasionally do some positive. It's rare, but it's out there.
I will say it was kind of funny. Mike Hawk from the men's room, he had been in Orlando for the weekend doing one of his auctions, right? Whoa. So he literally gets off the plane, takes the light rail up to my neighborhood. I hop in an Uber, pick him up. It's a pretty quiet ride over. And like before we walk in, I was like, Mike, I'm hurting a little bit. He's like, yeah, you're a little quiet. So then like, you know, we get there. People are already there. They're having fun. I talked to one of the bartenders who's a cool dude. And he goes, you're hurting, huh? And I go, yeah. He goes, well, it makes you feel any better. Three of the four bartenders are dying too. So I was like, all right.
It does actually.
It made me feel a lot better because when I first showed up, I was like, God, this isn't great. What did I say? Sarah from the Daily Migs show, she goes, are you hungover or have you been crying? I was like, I haven't been crying. It was a good morning. Arsenal won. They beat Tottenham. I go, I just, you know, when you wake up from an afternoon nap, you're just like, what day is it?
Yeah.
But on Monday, and then Mike and I stayed a little longer. It's like 4:30. But on Monday, I said to Mike, I was like, man, like that ended up being kind of fun. He was like, yeah, because you're usually on it from the jump. But he goes, I was kind of interested in watching you ramp up. And I go, yeah. What do you mean? He goes, at first you were just sitting at a table talking to Alfie, then talking to a couple. He goes, then I noticed you switched to like domestic beers and did a shot. He goes, I can just see you like ramping up.
The coyote, man, he gets stronger as the night goes on.
Yeah, that was the problem. Coyote was out in full form post college baseball and nice. Paid the price dearly on Sunday.
Oh man, dude. Well, you know, you've put in the training over the last 10 years to be able to handle it.
Yeah. Plus it was kind of fun, like Friday night, like the little crew I travel with, the mayor, you know, my other two buddies, like we all get together Friday. And then my one friend, when we left him on Friday night, it wasn't too late. He's like, picking you guys up at noon, games at 2. And we were like, BS, like you're never going to be back here at noon. So like, obviously, and he had stuff to do, so he doesn't come pick us up. So I don't know if you guys have been to Joey in a while, like Joey's. Remember Joey's?
Yes, that was, yes, 100%.
All right. So we go to the Joey's in U Village, right? It's like 12:30. First of all, trying to get into U Village on a Saturday is just a pain in the butt, and it's kind of raining. But Joey's is a Canadian chain. I think they're most famous for attractive staff, but also like they got really good food. Like they got small, good wings. Like, and my buddy was like, man, I just never would have thought to come here. And I'm like, yeah, let's hang out in here. And then I told him, I go, I bet I got a dollar that says we're the only two pregaming the Huskies college baseball game. And like the only other two dudes in there going to the game, they're wearing Arizona stuff. We're like, you guys going to the game? And they, I mean, they just looked like baseball players. They were like my age or older. I'm like, their kids have to be on the team. We're kind of chirping them back and forth. And then my buddy goes, yeah, I heard Jed Fish, the new football coach who we got from Arizona, heard he's throwing out the first pitch. Then they weren't too happy with us.
Oh, damn. Too far. Wait, so were their kids on the team or were they just like
we didn't ask. You? They just, yeah. I don't know how to explain it. Like, if you're going to a football game, you can, I'll be honest with you. Wasn't a very highly attended game. So my buddy, his friend, his son pitches for the Huskies. And like I could be wrong. They just looked like they either had kids on the team or like have something to do with baseball. You know what I mean?
So you were the only person there who was just a fan.
I mean, there was a few more, but it was mostly groups of little league teams. And then from what I could tell from the other guy we were with, he was like, I think you guys are the only ones here that don't have a direct relation to one of the players on the team.
Ted, the obscure sports fan, continues.
Yeah, but it was fun, dude. We sat in the second row. They weren't too strict on checking tickets.
Yeah. Dude, it's so funny. All right.
I was going to say, I got a good chirp in. Like, you know, may have had a beverage during the game. It's like getting towards the last inning. I was like, hey, 32. Couldn't hit sand if you fell off a camel.
did he look?
Oh, dude. Like where I was sitting, I was in direct line of like a right-handed batter. And he like has his foot out of the, he kind of looked over and was like, all right, that's kind of funny. But I mean, yeah, like anything you say, they could hear. Like, I'm pretty sure the whole stadium heard me talking about going to Hootie and the Blowfish.
Nice. Yeah, I kind of like that when it's like so intimate, but it's something that you're used to being able to just scream whatever. That's pretty funny, man.
Yeah, it's also weird. We were walking down the right field line, right? Because the one guy, he's like, yeah, this is where the parents sit, this and that. And like, I haven't played baseball or softball for years. But it's weird. We heard the ting off the bat and just a certain sound aluminum bats make. And me and my buddy are like, oh, here it comes.
And so it just took you back.
They were just like, how did you know? And I was like, you could just tell that was a foul ball and he didn't hit it cleanly. And it was, I was like, and we're down the right field line. So we're pretty much where foul balls land.
Dude, that's crazy. That's like so Pavlovian. If you think about it, like just hearing a bell, catching a ball, hearing a bell, catching a ball for years and years. That's wild. And it's funny that you say you can hear, how the shot was. Cause you think about just how many of those you've heard. To the point where you're just like, no, like that's a foul or that's like a clean or he's going yard or what?
Yeah, right. It has a different sound.
It always freaks people out. Matt and I were talking about this before the podcast last week, but obviously I was a college swimmer, water polo player. And I was telling, like, we were kind of talking about swimming form and whatever. And I was like, oh, I can tell if someone's a good swimmer or not just by listening to him. Like, I don't even have to look, you know, because you can just hear it. And my friend Rowan was down in Austin training for a triathlon, and same thing. It's just like, dude, I don't even like just swim. I'll listen and I can tell you what you're doing, you know, because it's so distinct and you've heard it so many times that, you know, you can hear if someone's struggling through the water or whatever. And I imagine the same with a bat. You're just like, ooh, that's sweet spot all day, baby.
Right. As opposed to, I mean, I didn't even think about it, but we did it all, like, even when we weren't looking and we were behind the net, you just be like, oh, that's a foul ball.
Dude, that's so funny. That's funny too, because like that's not natural. Like, I don't get any of that if I'm at a baseball game. Like, I hear a thing, the bat hit, and I'm like, you know, no clue if he's got it clean or not.
It was, I mean, I'd recommend going. Plus, it was a nice win, man. Arizona was 16th in the nation. Dogs got a W. And then, ironically, the next day, Jed Fish was at the game.
Oh, that's awesome. Dude, well, since you mentioned me going to the game, I'll drop my little quip because it was with your brother, which is I went to a University of Texas game, as you know, with your brother. And so he was there. I went to meet up with him and I kept like people just kept going yard. And I was like, dude, I looked at him at one point, like, you know, seventh inning. I'm like, is this a really small stadium? Like, I feel like people keep hitting home runs. And he like slowly draws down on me with like just I don't know. It's just like a very Smith look. And he's like, yeah, man, you know they're number one in the country, right? I'm gonna drop the bombs, dude. It makes sense.
Like when you went to see Texas play, they were like the current number one and hadn't lost like a game, much less a series in like a month.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean they were just dropping dimes over the center field fence the whole game. But yeah, it was hilarious. It's like, yeah, I had no idea. So that's my college baseball experience. In fact, that's the first and last game I've been to in my life. So
I also I have good news and bad news for you, Cobb. What do you want first?
Dealer's choice, man. Dealer's
All right. Well, I'll start with the good news. Thanks to my trips to Austin, I have made friends. I'd say some of your soon-to-be in-laws and their friends. The bad news is you didn't answer enough, man. The three of us might have just cut you out of that text thread.
Wow, I got dropped from the thread?
It's not mine, but I'm looking at the lap. Did you get one Sunday night? And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know who made that call, but I think they dropped them.
I'm not sure. Let's see.
Ooh.
If I did, I'd like to know who it was. That's brutal. So let's see. I think I was on one talking about the coaches. We can always do this later, I guess. This will take me a little while to look up. Okay. The last one I got was... Oh man, April 10th. Nope, still alive. Thursday.
All right, yes, somehow over the weekend you got cut out, but then in their defense, I was just like dying laughing. I'm like, oh yes, I can't believe they cut Cobb out. Like, I'm the reason I know them is because of Cobb.
Wow, that's wild. You know, actually, I'll tell you a story off air, but very interesting.
Well, I also think at a certain point, I would think about it. I would be like, are we just annoying Kyle? He doesn't really reply to all this college football stuff.
No, I just, you know, I watch, but I'm on many a group thread and, you know, he only contributes so often. So.
Yeah, that's fair. I sent a picture of me with that Husky player to those guys. And I was like, I got NIL deals. That's something. The guy's dad set up an NIL thing. And I'm like, we're going to start.
Did you cut me out? Is that what we're saying?
Oh, God damn it. I hope I didn't cut you out because I definitely sent him a picture.
Ted, I think you cut me out, dude. Just go on your text and look who the first message in that thread is and you'll know the truth. Wow. Dude, that's so ridiculous. That's actually pretty funny. I mean, that's obviously a shitty thing to do, but pretty hilarious given the context. You're just hammered at a baseball game. I don't even mind.
It's like, I got a new athlete for NIL.
Dude, I actually like the idea of like you sending it out and then like they're replying and you're like, oh man, like do they cut Cobb?
F***ing assholes.
Oh, dude. Well, you know, we'll, what's it called? Yeah, we'll look at the tape after the show.
All right. All right. Now, I got a loaded question for you guys because I've been this past year I've driven more. You got to deal with traffic. And I'm generally pretty good in the car, right? I try not to use the horn or flip people off. But today I was in a parking garage. It's obviously full. And that, like, this car in front of me starts going in reverse, but it's like one lane. And finally, I'm like, I don't know what this dude's doing. And I see two other cars coming up a down arrow. And I'm like, that's insane. But they make a right, which clearly is the last sign for the exit. Then we're waiting, which, by the way, there's no spots in the garage. I got in the garage, right? I had like 8 minutes to get upstairs to tape something. So now I'm kind of getting pissy. And these guys, one guy turns, or like the guy in front of me starts reversing. I just start hitting the horn. I'm like, it's one way. And this dude backed in and was like coming down the ramp. And I rolled down the window. I was just like, who the F do you think you are? And he's like, whoa, this and that. I'm like, this isn't two-way traffic. Like, you're going to cause an accident. So I guess my question is, are people A, bad drivers, or B, they're just rude?
Wow. Well, there we have it. 2 years into getting his license and getting a car, we have Ted Smith's first road rage incident. Now, if I was a betting man, I would have thought it was going to happen on the drive up from Portland a couple weeks ago. You were in the car for 5 hours. Seems like a perfect time for that to hit. But it wasn't until parking garages do bring their own source of frustration.
Yeah.
I mean, were you like, at the point where you're wanting to get physical, or you're just frustrated, or what? Like, what level did we hit?
I mean, by the time I rolled down that window, as I'm barely screeching, I mean, I could have reached over and grabbed his forearm. I was that close. I was like, who the f*** do you think you are? What's the problem? Like, you're going down a garage that has arrows. This isn't two-way traffic. It's not made for that. Like, what are you thinking? And then, like, you're going to have to make a left. Like, what if somebody else is coming? Like, I'm just like, you're ruining this whole system. Like, I just, you could see it. I got the hand going. I mean, I was pissed.
Wait, so that was your opener? Who the f*** do you think you are?
Yeah.
Dude.
But he had already done this twice. Like, called, like, backed out. And then, like, first of all, was coming up an arrow you shouldn't be coming up. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, there's not an open spot. Like, then it's like, you're at the exit. Just go out. Like, go find another garage. And you made a point to come back down. Like, I almost sideswiped a car. And it's like, well, also, like, what spot are you going to?
Yeah, did he, like, not have his ticket or something? Like, was it an administrative situation? Or did we ever get the answer for him or no?
No. He was just like, oh, blah, 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 like, something, and, like, drove away. I think I caught him off guard. But I mean, I had already been waving my hand screaming, it's f-ing one way, and it's a garage, so you know how annoying that horn is. But I'm just like, I don't know. I see people cut across three lanes of traffic to take an exit, and I'm like, well, that's dangerous and dumb. But this was like, what is possibly your reasoning here?
Wait, and to be clear, this is the office in which you work, right?
Correct.
So you're probably going to see this guy again.
Yeah, sure.
I hope you guys just have like an awkward stare down in the lobby. Do you remember his face?
I mean, I wouldn't remember it enough. I mean, standard looking white guy with some bushy hair in his early 30s.
I bet you he remembers you.
I hope he does.
I'm just kidding, Dan.
I mean, look, I don't know why. You know me. I'm a stickler about kind of like little rules. But like one morning I'm walking to the garage, or one day, and there's a woman just ripping a dart in the garage. There's clearly no smoking signs. And that one, damn. I couldn't help myself. I just went, oh, are you somebody important? Like, are you somebody important I should know? No, why? I'm like, well, you're standing underneath a no smoking sign smoking a cigarette. Well, it doesn't matter. It's just a garage. It's like, we're not at an outdoor garage. We're in an enclosed garage.
Yeah, are you talking about how like gasoline aerosolizes and is, you know, surrounding us right now? Talking about, yeah, that kind of garage, the kind of garage filled with bombs.
Right. Like if you're at the, I don't know, if you're at a garage that's, you know, that has levels, but there's, it's not underground. Like, yeah. I don't care. Rip that dart. But I'm just like, yeah. You're in an inside garage, dude.
Yeah. Like how low have we sunk? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
Was it the same garage?
That's a pretty good line.
Yeah.
Was that the same garage, Ted?
Correct. You know, the one at work. I'm just like, what is going on?
Wait, the one at old work or current work?
Current work. Cigarette.
No, it'd be current work, which I never used that garage.
Yeah. I was sure about the cigarette. Wow.
All right. So what do you think? Do they not know how traffic works? Or are they just being rude?
Oh, man. Matt, you want to take this one?
I mean, I think it's depends on the instance, you know? Yeah, I'd say it's definitely column A and column B, and sometimes both at the same time. But yeah, sometimes I see it and I can tell that it's just stupidity. And that can be just as frustrating as when they're just being, you know, a prick.
Guy today seemed, and he did seem somewhat confused, but I was just like, there's arrows. That's why I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah. If they're stupid, you know, and you make them feel stupid, like if they're just being an asshole, they're not going to think they're being an asshole.
Correct.
If they're stupid, you can make them feel stupid and they could learn from it and be less stupid, which is like your gift to society.
Dude, this feels like a straight Mitch wisdom drop. I got to be honest with you.
I
can see Mitch like reasoning that on his way like to work back in the day in traffic. And he's like, all right, it's worth it. You know, I should say something.
Yeah, all right.
That's awesome, dude. Like,
I was like, come on, man. And then, yeah, the only time I've really gotten annoyed with traffic or in my car so far is like the one night I was getting on the express lanes, right? So from where I get on them at work, like there's another light that you can't really see, but those people, right? Like I have to yield. They have the right of way. And this dude behind me just comes barreling up and almost rear ends me as I'm waiting for traffic to pass. And then honks the horn and starts flipping me off. Like, what are you doing? As a car zooms by, I'm like, I have to yield.
Dude, yeah, it's wild how some of the decisions people make out there. And there's no sorry button in your car. So I think sometimes people act rash and then, you know, maybe feel remorse. But I doubt it. I feel like we all went to different driving schools. I mean, it makes me always think of that classic George Carlin thing where he's like, everyone driving slower than you is an asshole and everyone driving faster than you is a maniac.
Yeah. Dude, my driving instructor played the entire class Because I Got High by Afro Man on my behalf. Just like on the last class, he's like, this is dedicated to Matt.
Wow. Your driving instructor?
Fun. Yeah, he was dope. Shout out Driving Dave.
Sounds like he was dope. Dang, dropping him by name too. There was a kid at my high school who totaled the driver's ed car.
Oh, no.
It always makes me laugh, dude. I know the exact corner. It he pulled out in front of another car, and the driving instructor, all he could do, he was taking a right turn, a free right on red, took a right in front of this truck, and the driving instructor just panicked and hit the brake because that's the only thing he has control over. And so he stopped the car, and so the car plowed into them way harder than if the brake hadn't been depressed. So they were like kind of both at fault, but the car was totaled. They were both fine, but just hilarious, dude. Like, the driving instructor's reactions were just too slow, so he like waited till they were in front of the car to hit the brake. Pretty awesome. Down in downtown Woodinville.
Yeah, I mean, I would say of my bad driving mistakes, for some, it's almost always me taking a right and just either missed a car or didn't realize the people making a left at a green arrow and just like feel like it's always been my fault.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, dude, you know what's crazy is that wasn't even a thing until the 70s, but with the oil crisis, the OPEC embargo and all that stuff, they were trying to save gas. So somebody smart figured out, like, hey, if we stop waiting in all these red lights and stop signs to turn right, you know, we could probably save a couple hundred thousand gallons or barrels of gas a week
if everyone
in the U.S. did it.
I don't mind, right? I don't drive fast. I drive like an old man. So like if it's like no turn on red, I'm like, phew, all right, pressure's off. I don't have to try to shoot some little gap. Everybody's getting all fired up behind me. I'll just sit here and relax.
Well, that's so funny.
All right. As long as I'm getting riled up, I got one more thing. Where have you guys paid attention to any of the new rap beef?
No, tell me what's going on.
Oh,
Matt, I assume you have some knowledge on this.
Was this the Chris Brown Quavo thing?
Right. So like a few weeks or like 2 months ago or something, like, right, I think Kendrick put out a diss track, and then J. Cole did. Then, like, basically everybody was just kind of shitting on Drake. Then J. Cole, 2 days later, was like, I don't want to be a part of this. Like, it's not my style. And it's like, all right. And then Drake...
Wait, he put out a diss track and then said, never mind, I'm out?
Yeah, on stage at Rolling Loud. He was like, I haven't been sleeping. It's just, and J. Cole to me is phenomenal lyricist, great rapper, but like, I don't think beef and think J. Cole.
Yeah, he doesn't want that smoke. That makes sense.
Yeah. So then, right, like Drake and right, there was Quavo and Chris Brown chirping at each other. It seemed like they were just like, hey, we should start one. And then I read a summary today that basically Drake said to Kendrick, like, haha, you're short. Kendrick came back over the top today and was like, you don't respect women. You're not black enough to use the N-word. Just torched.
Wow.
Damn.
Right. So now people are like, maybe J. Cole got out of it because he knew he didn't want the smoke with Kendrick. But also, like, I don't know, man. Like, Drake, I love Drake, but, like, I don't think of him as a beef rapper either. But, like... Mm-mm. I don't know. The big conversation is, it's so weird. It's like, you don't want to go back to like the early 90s with Pac and Biggie because they both end up dead. Like Jay-Z and Nas was a good one in the late 90s. But it's like, you need, like, I get you kind of need beef to keep each other sharp. But also, like, maybe we're just past that point in that genre of music.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to tell these days, you know. Of course, it's all entertainment, right? But it is tough to tell. I feel like back in the day, there were genuine beefs, and now most of them are sort of more clickbait beefs. Like you think about Tekashi 6ix9ine and some of the stuff that was going on with some of the SoundCloud rappers, you know, like Lil Xan and stuff. And it's like, you know, I feel like a lot of that was generated to get clicks. And I get that as a strategy. But yeah, I think genuinely, at least in the 90s, like a lot of those guys were just actual gangsters and they were pissed off. And it was not a money-making strategy. It was like a come on our turf and, you know, we're going to end your life type of situation. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but I'm saying that, so we don't want to go back to the early 90s with that. But also like Jay-Z, like Dame Dash and the rest of that Rockefeller crew did all like the real gangster stuff. Like he was the rapper, but... Yeah, he made a diss track on Nas, and credit to him, I like Nas a lot better, but it kind of woke Nas back up. Then he puts out Stillmatic with Ether on it, and it was just like, It just used to be more personal, and you got the impression they really don't like each other. Whereas, like, nowadays, they all hang out generally.
Yeah, it just seemed weak. Iron.
Like, oh man, and Drake used auto-tune to make it seem like Tupac was singing the record.
That's an interesting
or
not move.
Or AI. Yeah, it was, the whole thing was weird. And it's like, this is kind of corny. Like, what are we doing? Either don't do it or I don't know.
Well, I mean, aren't those guys like, is Drake in his 40s? How old is he?
Is he 40 yet? I don't know.
37. Wow. Right. I did not know Drake was the same age as me. That is mind blowing.
I knew he was younger.
You
want to
feel like you've done nothing with your life? Jesus, boys.
Oof.
I always just assumed he was like 10 years older. Oh my God.
So the thing that I saw, Ted, I don't know if you saw this, was that like there's a Quavo concert with like nobody there. Like, I mean, like it looked like from the picture I saw, like it was like a White River sized venue with like a El Corazon sized crowd in front of the stage to just draw the comparison.
Nice comparison.
And then people were saying that Chris Brown bought out all the tickets so that Quavo just had to play to this huge empty venue, which I thought was, if that's true, that's a pretty hilarious way to escalate the beef.
It is. But remember, 50 Cent did that to Ja Rule way back in the day.
Oh, he did?
Except 50 went to the show and took pictures of himself and all the empty seats.
50's the best, dude.
Yeah, 50's legit.
Yeah, he does some good troll jobs.
50 has aged well, you know, yeah, in a lot of ways. Like, the music has aged well. I still hear it occasionally when I'm out. And then, like, just as, like, you know, a mogul, I feel like he's, like, he keeps his game tight. You know, he talks about tax preparation, tax strategies, and things like that, investment strategies. Like, he's on it. And the Glissot thing.
Yeah, and he has... I mean, like, you can't really G-check him, like, were you a real gangster? It's like, well, he did time in jail, and he has the bullet wounds to prove it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, been hit with a few shells, now I walk with a limp. Classic line.
Right. I don't know. I got excited at first. I was like, ooh, a rap beef. And even I was like, Kendrick and J. Cole, like, I don't know. I think of them as being more conscious about stuff. So I'm like, I don't want to see you guys beefing. That feels weird. And then it's like, Drake, I love Drake, but like, I don't need you for rap beef. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Well, and even recently, you know, like, I think a couple of years ago, like, Eminem was in a beef, like a short-lived one. And I was just like, you know, at this point, like, what, M is probably like mid-40s, like tens of millions of dollars. I'm just like, I don't hear the angst in your voice anymore. You know, that being said, if anybody could flame somebody in his prime, M, killer. That's a man I would hate to cross.
I'm with you 100%. He is very good. And I mean, yeah, like, I don't know. Nobody's really going to mess with him. You could say some stuff. It's like, all right, like, if you want to wake up that giant, go ahead. But like, he's peacefully sleeping. He was just at the NFL draft. But if you want to go over there and be like, let's kick it.
Dude, exactly. That's like challenging Mike Tyson to a fight. It's just, you know how it's going to end.
Yeah, which is now, I saw it's going to be an actual boxing match.
I wasn't even going to mention it.
You, hey, doesn't matter to me.
The watch, I'm not watching.
Yeah, I'll be watching Hootie and the Blowfish dominate.
I'll tell you what I'm watching. I'm watching his training. That's what I'm watching.
What's that, Matt?
Did you see the Hootie content I sent you?
I don't know. Which one was it?
It was them singing Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, yeah.
That was killer, man.
Yeah. Well, Darius has a great voice. It was a great band.
Yeah, that was so good. Yeah, I think it's on YouTube, too. I think I sent it to you on Instagram. I haven't watched the full thing on YouTube, but yeah, it's out there. Video of Hootie and the Blowfish covering Stone Temple Pilots. Definitely worth your time.
Interstate Love Song?
That's the one. Yeah.
Nice. Save for after podcast.
All right, one more music thing. So, Matt, you went to Coachella.
Yes.
And then last weekend was Stagecoach.
Yes.
And Stagecoach is like the country version, but it's all country. Whereas Coachella has all different genres. But I also get, it's such a big stage, you might want to do something different. So Eric Church went out there on Sunday night, who was like one of the headliners. And keep in mind, when I first heard of Eric Church, Cobb, you were with me. He was opening for Kenny Chesney. And remember, people were wearing shirts that said Eric fucking Church. And like the first, that's how everybody said his name. Like he's kind of a hard driving one of those dudes. But I guess he went out there and did covers just like an acoustic with a gospel band. And people were all mad. Like, that's not what we came to see. And I'm like, that's another one where I get torn. I'm like, well, he is an artist. I think he went through some tough times. Maybe he's trying something new. But also, I don't know if I blame people who spent a lot of money to see him not to like kind of rock it.
Play the hits.
Play the hits, right?
What are we doing?
Yeah, I would say play the hits. You can slide a couple of covers in there, but probably no more than three.
Yeah, and I think also it depends on what time of day you're playing. But like, you're the headliner on Sunday night. People have probably either bailed by Sunday night or have saved up for Sunday night. And it's like, you got to give them the goods.
So,
I thought you were saying when he opened. There. Sorry. Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, yeah. So one of my coworkers was there. And
okay.
She said like a bunch of people left, like mass exodus. It was actually on Friday night, not Sunday.
Oh, it's Friday. Okay, my bad.
And so
even worse.
Yeah, they had as he was on or shortly after whatever, everybody flooded the other tent because everybody was leaving Eric Church. So there was like a massive overflow at the other stage where Nickelback was performing. She's like,
they're all, they deserve, I can't
see
man.
Anything. There's too many people.
Hate for a long time,
huh? Yeah, exactly.
They deserve.
Right, and then I saw, but then Eric Church comes out. I think later that night with Morgan Wallen and play. It sings like a banger of a jam. People are like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, yeah, Wallen was Sunday night.
Okay, so he came back out Sunday with Morgan Wallen. Yeah,
redemption arc.
I always wonder, like, what those guys do in between. You know, like, what did his Saturday look like? Is he at Coachella? Is he hanging by at like a cool hotel pool in Palm Springs? Is he like on a plane to play a show in San Francisco and then come back? Like, just be cool to know.
I think if you're there for that, like, you probably just hang out. That's why Coachella is kind of famous for like seeing other famous artists in the crowd. Cause it's like, well, we're going to be here for 3 days. Like, our house is rented. We take a golf cart to get there. Let's hang out and watch the festival.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, if you're that into music, you're probably a music fan, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Right. I mean, look, I have buddies that work at other stations and stuff. Like, I like to go to their events. It's just kind of interesting. Like, what are they doing? How are they doing this? You know?
Yeah, totally.
So, all right, well, let's take a little break here and we'll come back with emails. What's Matt and the Cobb topic? All right. Welcome back. Thanks to all our sponsors out there. Yeah, I guess that's all I got. Actually, you know what? I'll give a special shout out to Olaf's, man. That ended up being a really fun day.
Yeah, how about that? Oh,
the giant vagina you walk through to go play pinball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever the opposite of phallic is.
Yeah, I met the owner and stuff, and he was telling me the story, and I was like, man, this is really awesome. And it was just cool. It's like, Mike from Mike's Chili Parlor, like his bartenders were in there. There was a few other bartenders from other bars I know. And I was like, oh, it's Sunday. Like, bartenders can actually come out and have some fun. So it was definitely a cool event. And it is funny. I talk enough about random bars. This one woman kept going, I need to know which bars. And I was like, well, you got to give me a town. She's like, all right, Lake Stevens. I'm like, ah, that's too easy. And then I was just like, do you really need advice? She's like, no, I'm just a big fan. I'm kind of just messing with you. I was like, okay.
So it's throwing out like sub neighborhoods.
Yeah, exactly, right? And you know me, at this point I've had a couple beers and I'm like, well, don't get me started.
You're talking about North Ballard or downtown? Crown Hill, where are we at? Finney Ridge.
All right, Mr. Kyle, we got some emails.
Yeah, Welsh Canadian invites the Ted Smith. This week, by the way, is our one and only email. So let's get it. Hello to the greatest podcast in all the land. Originally from Wales, now living in Victoria, BC. Been listening to the Men's Room and the podcast for over 10 years now and never miss an episode. Let's go, boys. That's awesome. To add on to Ted's crazy sports conversation last week and his love for soccer, I sent Ted a DM on Instagram. Go check it. about an invite to come up to Vancouver on the 27th of July to watch the now famous football team, aka soccer team, Wrexham, play the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal.
That's wow. Wild. Yeah.
If you know, Wrexham is the one that's owned by
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds and right, and McElvaney.
Yeah.
That's so wild. If this interests you, Ted, go hit me back on IG or shoot me an email. Country music fan, big red bearded silver bullet drinker. What could go wrong?
Nice.
And Cobb, hopefully planning on doing a Seattle trip later this summer and looking forward to finding the popcorn shop. I definitely need to find me a men's room IPA as well. Thanks, boys. Loyal listener, Nathaniel.
Yeah, and dude, I'm pretty sure if you hop over the border, did you say he's in Vancouver or Victoria?
Victoria.
All right. I know it's been spotted pretty far up north next to the border. So, like, I don't know if you can bring it back over the border. I don't know anything about crossing a border with alcohol into Canada.
I think into Canada, they're pretty chill. I think coming this way, probably not as much. But I was going to say, Nathaniel, if you mention the podcast of the Popcorn Shop, one of the two employees listens and he'll hook you up. If it's the other guy, I can't help you.
I ran into one of your employees on Friday night having a beverage, and he was getting dropped back off at a certain bar in the U District. And I was like, oh, man, the guy that runs the kitchen there is a big fan of the men's room. His first reaction, can I get free drinks out of that? I was like, no, fuck you, man. Like, I got to be with you.
Doesn't Cobb pay you enough?
They grow up so fast.
Right? Like, easy, fella. What? Easy.
Literally multiple times I've been like, I wouldn't say confronted by his dad. We're friends, but like he's brought up like, how much are we paying these boys? Because he is spending lavishly for working at a popcorn shop.
So supposed to teach him some grit.
Yeah. I'm like, do you want me to make it harder? Like, what do you want me to do here, my guy? He makes tips, you know? I can't help him being charming and good looking.
Dude, I saw a video the other day of like the market put out, and it was like, can you get down to Western Avenue? And for my taste, they didn't use the camera enough going down the stairs on Cobb's popcorn. Like, come on.
That's the shot. Come on.
Come on.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. The politics ebb and flow down there.
Oh yeah. I'm just pumped in a few weeks I'll be up on Cape Cod. Just because I already took the Smiths to your shop to mess with my cousins. So now I can't wait to be sitting in the Smith family beer garden eating popcorn, just being like, suck it, Cobb.
Nice.
Won't be as funny as I've told you I'm going to send it. So
that's going to be good.
All right. Well, let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, guys. What's good? What's maddening? Whoa.
Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, guys. What's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out what's maddening.
I'm whatever. Part Welsh. Yeah, on your time.
No, I was just going to, that emailer was Welsh. He was saying, I'm Welsh. Part Welsh. That's a dope flag we got.
You know what? I get a lot of Welsh vibes off of you.
Is that so?
Oh, yeah. Like the way you always talk about sheep, because there's more sheep and whales than people. And then the fact you always bring up, you hate that we're just a summertime cottage for the rich English. Like, once I watched Welcome to Wrexham, I got really pissy about it. I'm like, damn, man, the hell with the English.
I'm not gonna say it. Yeah, definitely.
Well, look, I'm Irish descent, so I mean, it's not gonna take much for me to be like, the hell with the English.
Yeah. Well, and people listening probably know my business partner is from Dublin, so he's not a huge English fan.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
So yeah, this week was highlighted on Thursday. Let's see. We'll start on Tuesday last week. I was like anxious during the podcast because Slipknot had announced a last minute show an hour from my house at this place called Pappy and Harriet's, which is up in a town called Pioneer Town, which is like an old Western. They literally built it as a Hollywood set for Westerns. And then it became like a little functioning small town. And there's this like quirky little barbecue joint bar that has great food and two stages, one indoor, one outdoor. And it's a great venue. So I'm going to see Andre 3000 play the flute. And I've been there a few times. It's a great little spot. And so on Tuesday, Slipknot announced a surprise show for Thursday at Pappy and Harriet's. And I was like, what, dude? Their first show with their new drummer. It's the 25th anniversary of their self-titled album. So the internet's been rumbling about, like, it's going to be a big year for Slipknot. And this was like the first sign of that. And so I couldn't get tickets last Tuesday. So that's why I was like sitting here, like, how the hell am I going to make this happen in the next 48 hours? And the next 48 hours from when I ended this podcast were like so frantic and anxious and like neurotic about like having to make it to this show. And so I was unable to procure.
That is a wild looking spot. I'm looking at photos of their shows there now. Like, I saw your IG stuff. I'm like, damn.
It's awesome. Yeah. And so I ended up not being able to get tickets to the Slipknot show. But I looked, and then on Pappy and Harriet's web Instagram, they were like, don't come if you don't have a ticket to either show. And I was like, either show? They have an indoor show happening at the same time for some Canadian folk artist, Corb Lund. And I was like, if I get a ticket for that, they can't ask me to leave the premises. Like, right. And then I could do a Slipknot, do it on the outdoor stage, or at least just listen. Like, I just got to be there. And so I pull up with my Corb Lund ticket, and I thought I would be able to get in the parking lot because there was like a line of cars like a mile long, like on the road leading up to Pappy and Harriet's. And I was like, no, I'm actually ticketed. They're like, we don't have any room in the parking lot. So I had to park like half a mile down on the side of the road. And I just sprint up because when I drove up, I could hear Slipknot was already playing. And I was like, if I can hear it from the car from the street out here, I can hear it from wherever my indoor ticket will let me chill. And
let's get it. Nice, dude. What a hack.
I just had to make it happen. And so they have this little back area also outdoors that you can partially see the stage from. You're looking through the smoke pit where they're making meats and through a little margarita machine. And then you can like see maybe 50 to 60% of the stage, which Slipknot has 9 guys. That's a lot going on, even on a obstructed view. And so I was like right up against the fence of that back section, like as far up as I could get. And there's a couple bros that were, they're stationed up in 29 Palms. They're in the Marine Corps. And we have some friends who have also been up at 29 Palms. So I was like, yeah, dude, my boys were up there. Actually, they said it sucks now that I think about it, but it's cool to meet you.
Dude, we stayed outside off the strip for F1, Formula One.
Yeah.
And like, same thing, like you drive through some areas where it's just brown and there's not much going on. And they were like, this is pretty much what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I haven't heard great things about it, but I was excited to meet them. You know, talking about George and, I was like, so we're having a good time talking. And then I made some comment about Iowa, Slipknot's album, you know, and how much it changed my life when it came out when I was in high school. And they were like, you're in high school, or you were in high school when Iowa came out? Like, they were just born when Iowa, they're like 21 and 27. So I was like, wow. Really? I had them fooled, though. I felt good about it, but I really dated myself in that moment. I was like, why did I say that? Things are going so good. But yeah, dude, it was just a really special night. Like, Slipknot had a bitchin' set list with like a bunch of stuff off self-titled and Iowa and Volume 3. And like I said, it was their first with their new drummer. They all had new masks from their last, cycle. And the red jumpsuits are back, which is what they hit the scene with back in like 99. Corey Taylor was like, I don't care where you're from or when you were born. The year right now is 1999. And then they played a song from 2004, which was really Slipknot thought you were something from self-titled there, dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, full disclosure, I don't really sit around the house listening to a lot of Slipknot, but go see them in concert.
They're it so
is,
good.
It is unreal. It is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're, they killed it. I could see all the members at different times because they're all moving around. And where I was, I knew I could see the drummer because I was kind of curious because he was the new member in the band. And it's Eloy Casagrande. That was confirmed today for any drum metal heads. It was like the coolest. I've seen Slipknot probably 8 or 9 times. That was the coolest, the specialist, the smallest. Like, I don't know when the last time they played for a crowd under 1,000 people is, but it's probably been decades. And so, yeah, made it happen. Didn't have a ticket. Shout out Corb Lund. Shout out Pappy and Harriet's. The staff was like, they were awesome. And then I'm not wearing it, but I got to get merch. I got 2 special edition shirts that say Pappy and Harriet's on it, you know, with their Slipknot shirts, but they're like for that show. So, cool. Yeah, the merch table is outside of the ticketed area. And I was just like, this is the
yoink. Yeah, wow, right. That's so cool. Dude, yeah. So.
I mean, that's pretty legit. Like, I have some sports gear from stuff that I never went to the game. I was just around it.
Yeah.
That Pioneer Town thing, though, kind of a crazy story. So we are getting ready to have a wedding. And, one of the people who is providing a service for the wedding, that's like as deep as I want to go, did played another event. And it was a birthday party, and he played it. His craft, I'll say, is probably more fair, was done at this birthday. And the birthday, Jeff Bezos built an entire Western town, including hotels, saloons for people to stay in, full bars, everything, an entire Western town for this birthday. But then 3 days before the birthday, high winds came in and flattened the town.
Oh.
Isn't that wild? Like, literally built an entire, like 12, 15 buildings.
In Texas?
Yeah, in Texas.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty freaking crazy. So anyway, I was just like, wow, that is wild. So he built an entire Pioneer Town for a birthday.
And then it got blown away in a windstorm. Yeah,
but boys, that's how you ball.
That's next level ball
for a birthday, sure. Dude. Not even like, I mean, you know, a quinceañera or something, like just base level birthday.
That's wild.
And it wasn't even for Jeff Bezos' birthday. It was literally for his friend. So I'm just like, God, like at a certain point, I mean, I've heard of people balling and I've heard of people building towns for birthdays, you know?
Yeah, bro. I'd build a Western town for either one of your birthdays if I had the means.
I mean, remember, what was that show on HBO for a while where it was like the future and you could pay money to go like live in a Western town, but they were all like robots?
God, dude, Westworld. Great show. Yeah. Great show.
I feel like that's what we're edging around.
Yeah. He's just like, I'll build my own Westworld. Yeah, he probably has androids out there. Maybe they tore the town apart. I don't know. Just to say.
Oh, if you told me there was like a robot hotties.
Like, Jesus, dude. Easy, easy, bro. I know it's been a long winter, dude. Easy. I want to keep you employed.
It's like in.
You know what's going to happen. And you know what's crazy, too, is you think about the Instagram algorithm and how over time it just caters more and more to what you like and your pleasure. Like, you know, not a lot of dots that need to be connected there. It's going to get crazy, boys.
Oh, I would go to Westworld in a second if it was real and I could afford it, hooking up with all the robot hotties. And then I'd be like, can I go? I'm going to go wrestle a fucking bear.
Yeah. And the robot algorithm is going to like learn everything that you love better than any human ever possibly could.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But I wouldn't say I love wrestling bears. But if it was like, you're not going to get injured for real, like, oh, I'm wrestling a bear. Like, oh, get yeah. real.
Ted, I was talking about impress... the robot prostitutes.
That's what I'm saying. How do you think you impress the robot hotties? You wrestle a bear.
Dude, if you take down a robot bear, I feel like you should get laid for free. That feels easy. Like, it doesn't cost them anything to give you a freebie, right? Like, just electricity, you know?
I'm here for the billiards.
Wow. Would that make like prostitute prices crash? Like, are they going to get competed away by AI and robotics?
Oh, yeah.
I just saw a robotic nail salon today at Target. You put your hand in and it paints your nails for you. They're coming.
I mean, look, I don't think it's the prostitutes have to be worried. Women got to be worried.
Damn, dude. That's would this be a V podcast if we didn't drop in a conspiracy theory or two at the end? God, women got to be worried. Love it. Yeah.
All right, well, Matt, how was the rest of your weekend?
Is lackluster compared to that. I'm not going to name names, but I got stood up by a friend I hadn't seen in a while that was in town for Stagecoach. He had some big shot. I have to manage my client stuff. And I was like, all right, bro. Thought we were homies from when I first started working at the radio station. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. All right. I do want to know.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, then I guess it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
Matt, sorry about that. I thought you were finished with your segment. That's why I was telling the story.
Yeah, I was pretty wrapped up. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So cop topic this week, kind of piggybacking off what Matt said, is just, you know, of course, like almost every band that you love seeing live. There are a few exceptions, but generally speaking, it's fun. But there are a few groups that you don't expect to be that good that absolutely stand out. And just for whatever reason, whether it's charisma, stage presence, just the music itself really plays in the venue. But there are some people who just absolutely rock a live show. What is the best live show you've seen? And sort of as a corollary, like who impressed you? You know, like not your expectation was high and they met it, but like your expectation was whatever. And they absolutely brought it. I'll go first, which mine was Primus. Really didn't know kind of who they were at the time. Wasn't expecting much. Good Lord, they are good live.
Damn.
I mean, that's a tough one because I expected him to be good, but just his voice alone is Stapleton.
Oh, God. Same. Yeah.
But he's Chris Stapleton. He just kind of sits up there and sings. But as far as like stage presence, like Avenged Sevenfold, hands down.
I've seen them.
I've probably seen that band 7 times.
And every time they brought it?
Every time.
Holds up. Wow.
I'll leave out the other band's name. There's another giant band. And like when it used to be those rock star tours or whatever, they would alternate who was the final closers or co-headliners. And I definitely saw Avenged play and like was walking out. There was a decent amount of people, and they're like, you're not, and somebody's like, Ted, you're not staying for blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I like them, but Avenged just crushed it. There's nowhere to go from there.
Yeah. How do you follow that?
Yeah. Avenged is good. And then in the rap world, man, I saw Future once, and just the way he used the lights and stuff, it was just, I was like, man, that's a really good show, like stage presence show for a rapper.
Yeah. On that one, I would say Jay-Z. He has so many top 10 hits, you kind of forget. And he rocked a show just by himself. I think he had like a DJ. That was about it.
Yeah. But I expected that from him.
Yeah, same. That's why.
Man, I mean, you're really flaring up my recency bias right now. Because I just got done telling a story about an awesome show. I'm wearing a shirt of an amazing reunion show from a couple weeks ago when No Doubt played Coachella for their first show in however long. And like that blew me away. Like I did not know how many songs theirs I loved and like how good that would be. I thought it was going to be good, but it was like they blew me away. And then Ted, you're talking about Avenged Sevenfold, and like last year around this time I went out to Vegas and saw their last minute show that was like 3,000 people at Area 15 that was, you know, I would say by that point, same thing with Slipknot. I knew what I was getting myself into. I think I saw Avenged earlier, but when I saw them at the Gorge in 2013, that was like, whoa, these guys have really figured it out. Because the first time I saw them, they were like on Ozfest, and they were like a surprise guest, and a lot of the crowd didn't like them. But I would say Tool at the Gorge kind of started a lot for me, or Audioslave at Lollapalooza. Like, those are the two, like, original
Audioslave,
ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was 03 Lollapalooza. Audioslave at White River Amphitheater was like one of those formative concerts that was like, I want to like go to show. And when I saw the Street Teamers for the end there, I was like, what do you guys just hang out at concerts? And they're like, yeah, man, that's our whole gig. I was like, I got to figure that out. I got to do that. And that was like, you know, that was all the direction I needed at that point in my life. And, you know, it's led me down a crazy path since. So, you know, yeah, when you ask, like, so many things come to mind between those. But I just got to go back to the start and say, like, Lollapalooza 03 or Deck the Hall Ball 2001 was System of a Down opening, and then Linkin Park, and then Blink 182. That was insane. And then Stained was the headliner after all that, oddly enough, for 2001. When you look back, you're like, what the hell? But yeah, there's been too many to name. I would say Chris Cornell, you know, just kind of showed me what was possible with live music and how much I could love it.
Yeah, I would also, you're talking about EndFest. I remember one year I was kind of pissy as I've been trying to get tickets, didn't get any. And then Ryan Castle, like, is leaving. He's like, nobody ever gave you tickets? I was like, no. And he's like, here's like a VIP pass, whatever, you can get on the floor. And I'm like, well, I'm going to play hoops. And he's like, it doesn't end for a while. So I go, I used to play like in a Wednesday half court pickup game, play hoops, go home. I'm living in Belltown. I think I ripped down like two shots of whiskey, smoked like half a joint. Boom. I'm up at Key Arena. And, the headliner was Mumford and Sons. And I knew Little Lion Man, but I'm like, I don't really know Mumford. Get down on the floor. It's a bitch to get on the floor. And like, Mumford has a bit of a younger audience than I was, and it's an end fest. So I'm like, I've been to enough concerts. I'll just get near the soundboard, because like, it's not up front, but it's where generally you're going to hear the music the best. And they blew me away. I mean, I've been a fan since that day, just standing there by myself. And like, I was just like, God, they're good musicians.
Yeah, seriously. They really are. That's awesome.
But I feel like I have to say this, but you're right. Like, between Jay-Z or like a Metallica, like, you're not going to miss. Like, I've never seen a bad Metallica show, but they're already Metallica. Like, the last time I saw Jay-Z was right. The same thing. I'm like, well, yeah, but he's already Jay-Z.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more fun when it comes out of nowhere. And you're like, whoa, who is that?
Yeah. I mean, our boy Jeets, it's down in Portland now. Like, I remember he had seen Avenged Sevenfold and they were not a big band. He's like, dude, trust me, like, just go see him. And then I mean, they were in town again like 2 months later and we went to see him. And then literally, like, it is rare that I will miss an Avenged Sevenfold concert. Like, if they're playing a concert, go see it. It's that fun.
Nice.
All right, well, you know, don't be afraid to go see college baseball either. All right, from CTV.com, I'm the Ted Smith, is the podcast. Cheers.